The reason Tantra is the art of being, of making trouble, is because it is, in fact, an investment in the creativity of understanding what is possible, not what is sure or certain, not what is simply the case. That expresses itself, but, and let me offer the contrast here. The vast majority of Tantra is problem-based. We're going to solve the problem. Rajanika Tantra, which is the school of goddess Tantra that I work in, is paradox-based. And even we say, look back, even those who try to explain the world problematically, you know, the world, life's a problem, but yoga's the solution. If you can learn to engage deeply, you'll solve the problematic of human life. Even they have to say, isn't life itself an extraordinary, wondrous gift? At the same time, they're saying, but look, it's a mess. Right? So is that not a paradox? Like, it's a blessing, but the very, and so it's this simple. Of course, the very same thing that created you will devour you. The very same life that nourishes you will kill you. Aggressively, right? Because that's one, that because of all the things that you know, death runs in your family. It's one of the things you all got, right? So to the Shakta mind, the claim that what you want to have is quite literally the original experience of Shiva, that is the original state of being, bereft of difference, the one expresses itself as many, that transcendental goal, which then expresses itself as all the possibilities of the universe. And notice that this is, my colleagues are really framing what I would call the mainstream view that's dominated by a host of philosophers we call the Kashmir Shaivites. And that view is that Tantra really has two concerns. Rod talked about this last night. The transcendental and the immanent. You're here to find, as it were, the transcendental reality and as well, boga, as he put it, to love life, to enjoy the world. And that in a certain way, reframes the Tantra in contrast to earlier traditions, which told you that boga was always going to be nothing but the problem, and that you needed a transcendental solution to a world of boga. Why? Because everything that manifests as a desire is corrupted by change. Right? Eat breakfast hungry by lunch. So that you're in, so samsara defined itself through desire in the pre-Tantra traditions. How? By telling you that if you didn't get what you want, you would be unhappy, and if you got what you want, you would be unhappy. Right? So that win or lose, desire is the problematic. The Tantra came along and said, but the universe itself is nothing but an expression of desire. It's power somehow expressing the desire simply to be. The being itself, the expansion of the universe, is the universe's desire. It doesn't have to have a motive, it doesn't have to have a purpose, it just has a want. Now, the Shaktas of my ilk come along and tell you that a transcendental goal that exempts you, right, that's the Teflon goal. You're in the world, but all the bad stuff doesn't really happen to you because you have the transcendental state. So you see the world as... Let me give you a different model. Kashmir Shaivism and other tantras want you to climb the mountain peak. Until you get to the mountain peak, you're seeing the world like this. Once you get Shiva Drishti, the vision of Shiva, the peak experience, the tantra says, you can come back down the mountain. Patanjali, early Vedanta, other traditions just said, when you get to the mountaintop, why would you come back? Right? Effectively, there's nothing to come back to because you got it. You've literally peaked. Kutasta, literally, you are established on the peak. Because Meir Shailites came along and said, until you reach the peak, you don't get the real view. You don't get the panorama. You don't get the true vision. But once you have the true vision, when you come back through the valleys, you still see the peak. You see the world through the lens of Shiva Drishti. So you see the Boga world through the lens of the transcendental. But this is an assertion. Why? Because when you come back to the world, you're looking to see the same thing everywhere. Does that make sense? There's only one solution. You got it. You have the solution that, in some sense, informs your experience of the world. Does that make sense to you, what I mean? Let me give you a simple example. You want to find out. So here's enlightenment. You want to climb the peak to find the swan. The swan is the migrating self, the hamsa, right? What you want is that hamsa to always be pure, to always be one thing, that my hamsa is your hamsa, myself is your self, right? That my essence, beneath all the changes and differences and appearances of the world, beneath namarupa, names and forms, my essence is your essence. So my hamsa, my swan, is your swan. That means that if we all have the same swan, all swans are white. Does that make sense? See what I mean by that? Because we're all the same. In essence...
But you named them white.
I did. Because that's the distinctive feature, is that they are all the same. Their distinctive feature is that they're all the same.
But they couldn't they all be black? You just named them white?
Yes. Sure, why not? Okay. Pick their white. So you get to the mountaintop, and you go, all swans are white. And you come back, and the only thing you can find are... white swans, right? The Tantra, which is the art of making trouble, says that no matter how many white swans you find, your job in life is to look for the black one. That is, to look for the possibility that wasn't just the one you asserted is true for everything, that is always true. Your job is to find the seam in the fabric of being. Your job is to find that, you might find that all swans are white. But your job is to entertain the possibility that your assertion, your claim, right, is needs to be more than the piling up of examples or the glib affirmation that because that's what you saw, there is no other possibility. Or that the oneness, all swans are white, my soul is your soul, really solves the problem. Why? Why does it not solve the problem? Because you don't live in a world in which there is an answer with certainty. You live in a world in which certainty always gives way to probability. You live in a world in which every time you go, that's it, I'm sure, it's done, you have to say to yourself, really? The reason this is a shock to you, that your job is really the curiosity of subversion, right, is because it's the dynamic view. Certainty is atrophy. If my soul is your soul and all souls are the same, done, finished. Still. You're literally saying nothing more, nothing else, only one. That's not only certainty, that's literally non-movement. Because there's no possibility. There's no change. There's no dynamism. To admit dynamism, to admit change, you have to admit movement. To admit movement, you have to say, so far, maybe all swans are white. Maybe my essence is your essence. But what if there's more? What if there's yet more to find than that? The more there is to find by the curiosity, by the strategy of troublemaking, right? Looking for the black swan when you think all the swans are white. That idea that there might be more is called Shri. Shri, the auspicious. It is the radical affirmation that the possibility of that the possibility creates more, the auspicious. Shri is not goodness. X that out of your